Class is in session. You're listening to Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horshick.
Let's go!
Now, let's start the show.
Hey, what's up, podcast listeners? Thank you so much for checking out today's show. This is episode 85 of the Squat University podcast. The goal with each and every one of these shows is to bring you as much value-packed content to help you move better in the gym and in life, decrease your body's aches and pains, and help you reach your true athletic potential. Now, today's show is all about the squat technique fault of the hip shift. Now, I've made a few pieces of content on Instagram recently showing patients who have come to me, showing the full evaluation process and exercises we chose and the ultimate fix for a hip shift like this. And there's been a lot of really good response from those videos. So I felt like I would make a podcast on the topic just for every single one of you guys who would like to learn about fixing these movement faults while you're doing things like driving in the car to work or taking the dog for a walk. So today is all about the hip shift. Now, what I want to do to start is to break down the problem of a shift into two basic parts. We're going to talk about the descent and then those that also have a shift on the way up, on the ascent of their squat. Because usually there's two different reasons, generically speaking, on why someone would shift in either portion of their squat. So the first thing to understand is that most of the time when someone is shifting side to side, when there's a hip shift on a squat descent, it's often going to be due to a mobility issue. And this is because the bottom of the squat places the most mobility demand on your body. You have to have a sufficient amount of ankle mobility. You have to have a sufficient amount of hip mobility to get into that bottom squat position. And if you have any side-to-side differences in either the ankles or the hips specifically, your body's going to reflexively shift side-to-side as you drop. Now, the first portion of any fix is to get a good screening down, a good evaluation process, so we can really find what the cause is. Remember, there's no one size fits all when it comes to fixing movement problems. You really have to get to the bottom of it through a good evaluation process. So step one is screening. Now, the one thing I do every single time someone comes to me with a problem in technique, in ache and pain, and we need to find out what the why is, I get them out of their shoes, and I watch how they're moving. That has to be the first step. Now, the big reason I want to get you out of your shoes is because I want you to notice what is happening at your feet, okay? Notice the position of your feet. Is one toe or one foot pointed more out to the side than the other? So set up in your normal squat stance, video yourself if you don't have a friend there with you, and just perform a couple basic bodyweight squats. And also do this with some light weight on your back. Even if you squat with weightlifting shoes on, I want you to be able to put, you know, your first plate on, so 135 pounds, 60 kilos, something light for most people, and do your first couple reps and just watch what's happening, okay? What is it? Yogi Berra would always say, you can see a lot from watching, or something to that regards. Basically, we want to be a detective and we want to analyze your squat technique and discover the different clues that are going to lead us to why that hip shift is occurring in the first place. So let's talk about your feet. What are going on at the feet whenever you're squatting? Is one foot collapsing over? Again, is one foot pointing out to the side a little bit more? You see, your foot is like the foundation to your body's home. You wouldn't build a house on top of a sandy beach. Most people would obviously understand that the foundation built on top of sand is not stable at all. So that house is going to eventually slide around. It's going to topple over. It's going to slide right into the sea, especially when the next time a storm comes through. The same goes for our feet. Our feet set that foundation for the rest of the body to move on top of. So if while you're watching your squat and you notice that your hip shift is occurring, and in part you can see that one foot is maybe working a little bit differently as far as the arch is not being maintained, or maybe you have flat feet and you're just even more so pronating and that foot is collapsing over on one side versus the other. That is one clue of something that we need to focus on whenever we talk about our fixes. Okay, so the next thing on the way up is I want you to look at your ankles. Now, the simple test that I use constantly, if you have seen Squat University content for the last couple years, you know I use this test a lot. It's because it really exposes big issues side to side very easily. You can do this at home. You do not need to go spend thousands of dollars to see a medical practitioner to get some tests done. It's called the 5-inch wall test. You're going to kneel down by a wall. You're going to put your foot, a hand or a fist basically, in a thumb length away, about 5 inches from that wall, and you're going to keep your foot down on the ground. Don't let your heel pop up, and drive your knee as far forward towards the wall and see if you can touch your knee to the wall without your heel popping off the ground. Now, whenever you're doing this test in context of us trying to fix a hip shift, the big thing we're looking for first and foremost is, do we have sufficient ankle mobility? Okay, can you get close to the wall? And second thing, and most important thing, is there a difference side to side? Is your right ankle maybe an inch from the wall, but then your left ankle is 3 inches from the wall? A side-to-side difference in ankle mobility is one of the most common weak links for creating a hip shift, because what's going to happen is that as you squat down, and again, the bottom of the squat is where the most mobility demand is on those ankles. If you have a difference in side-to-side ankle mobility, your body's going to shift side-to-side because the body's not going to be able to move symmetrically into that bottom position. So that 5-inch wall test can easily expose a problem in mobility that you need to work on. Now, depending on what you find with that, that may be foam rolling the calves, it may be some light box stretching, it may be some band and joint mobilizations. I've got tons of content out there on squatuniversity.com, on my YouTube channel, on how to fix ankle mobility problems. So we're not going to get into that today, but just know, if you have a hip shift on the way down to the bottom of a squat and you try the 5-inch wall test and you find a different side to side, that's one piece of the pie that you need to fix, okay? So just because you may or may not have found a problem there, we then need to go to the hips. Now, one of the most common problems I see with a hip shift is an inability of one of the hips to be able to externally rotate and extend on one side versus the other. Now, how do you screen for that? It's called the Faber test. It's very simple. You're going to lay on your back, and you're gonna get into what's called like a figure four position. Basically, if you were to lay completely flat, both legs straight, you're gonna take your right heel and place it just above your left knee. And then you're gonna let your right knee drop to the floor, drop it down to the bed while your heel, your right heel, stays on your left knee. So you're in sort of this pretzel looking position. Now, here's the deal. Most of the time, we are looking for that hip to be able to drop maybe a fist and a thumb length away or so from the table. But again, just like the ankle mobility test, we're not just looking for, do you have sufficient mobility, but do you have a difference side to side? Because that difference is what is going to create the asymmetrical shifting on the squat descent. Now, I have been doing a lot of test retest over the past couple of years using this test with those that come in with hip shifts. And let me tell you, it is a very, very common issue for someone to maybe pass with the ankles, but then have a problem with their hips. And one side of that Faber test, that knee is just gonna hang in the air. Meaning that hip on that side is often not gonna be able to externally rotate and extend as much as possible. Now, most of the time, if someone has that Faber test, let's say the right hip is tight, so you're not able to let that right knee drop as much to the ground as possible, I find that that is often the hip that the person shifts to. Because if you think about it, in order to squat down symmetrically, those knees need to both be out to the side a little bit. That's the motion of external rotation. So if someone is going down and shifting to the right, their knee, their thigh technically is being pulled in more towards the midline of their body. So their knee is not, or their hip is not externally rotating as far. Now, what do you do if you find a different side to side? You do the assisted hip airplane. Again, I have done a ton of test retest with people that have come into me in clinic that have shown hip shifts. And I promise you, if you have a problem in the Faber test and the inability for one knee drop to the ground and come back up, the assisted hip airplane, almost 99% of the time, is able to clear this up. It's crazy how helpful this can be. Now, the assisted hip airplane, I've talked about it before. Basically, you're going to get into a single leg RDL position. Okay, so one leg in stance. The other leg is going to be kicked back, and you're basically just going to rotate over from your hip. You're going to get into the bottom of what a single leg RDL looks like. It's assisted because your hands are out in front of you grabbing onto the barbell, just put it in the rack. From that position, you are going to rotate your hip open as high as you can. Basically, if you're in right leg stance, your left leg is kicked back, you've toppled over as if you're doing a single leg RDL, you're going to take your hips and you're going to open to the left. as if you're taking your belly button and just try to push it as far open to the left as you can. Now, in doing so, you're not going to feel a very big muscular stretch. You're going to feel a pretty good light stretch deep in your joint or deep in your groin. That's often where most people feel. It's not like they're doing a really hard calf stretch or groin stretch, even where it's more muscular. You're going to feel this more so deep in the hip joint. That's a good thing. You're going to hold for about 5 to 10 seconds, and then you're going to come up. Usually something like this, I recommend doing at least 5 to 10 reps, and then immediately retest. Go back, do the Faber test again. See if that was efficient and effective at clearing up that problem in mobility. Then once you have problems in mobility cleared up, we then need to assess hip coordination and strength. One of my favorite ways to do this is with the single leg bridge test. Now, if you've been following Squat University for some time, you've probably seen me demonstrate this multiple times. It's because this is a very easy way to expose those issues in side-to-side hip coordination and balance stability. That can really be a why behind many problems like a hip shift or other twisting and things like that with our squats, our deadlifts, our cleans, or snatches. Here's how you do it. You're going to lay on your back. One knee's going to be bent, the other one straight. Pretty simple. Perform a single leg bridge. Just pick your hips off the ground. Now, when you're up in that bridge position, you're going to hold for about 10 seconds. And I want you to feel for what muscle is working hardest to keep you up. Your quads, your hamstring, your butt, or your back. What muscle group is working hardest to keep your hips up? Now, oftentimes I'll see people will say, oh, my hamstrings start cramping, or they will feel their quads are working really hard. Basically, they won't feel their glutes. That's going to be a fail of this test. Now, the big thing is to also perform it on right and left sides. And our goal is to see, is there a difference in side-to-side coordination? Is there a difference in maybe your right side, you feel your glutes working really hard, but your left sides, you barely feel your glute. You basically feel the quads, the hamstrings, something else is going to be working more than the glute. That right there just illuminated a potential why behind your hip shift. Is because as you're squatting, specifically on the way up, we need both glutes to be able to work symmetrically in order to maintain that balanced ascent. If one glute's working really well, and on the other side, your body is not coordinating that hip extension well, you're naturally going to twist towards the stronger side often, or you will twist in a way to recruit other muscles that are working well. So uncovering that side-to-side imbalance is the first step in really addressing and fixing the problem in hip coordination. So if you did feel side-to-side difference, what are you going to do? Let's do a double leg bridge. So I want you to get down on the ground. You are going to perform 2 feet into the ground, pick your hips up, squeeze your glutes. Now, obviously this is a very simple exercise, but there's a lot of things that can go wrong with this. The big thing that we're trying to do with this is get both glutes to turn on symmetrically. The common complaint I see with people that are doing a double leg bridge is that they will feel their hamstrings tighten up, their hamstrings will cramp. When that happens, you have two options. The first is shorten your hamstrings basically by bringing your heels closer to your butt. So by bending your knees a little bit more, pulling your feet towards your butt, and then performing the same bridge again, what you're doing is you're shortening the hamstrings. And because of something called active insufficiency, when the hamstrings are in a shorter position, they're not going to be able to contribute as optimally to producing hip extension. Now, the only thing left that helps extend the hips is what? The glutes. You got it. So for some people, if you're doing a bridge and you feel your hamstrings cramp, the only change you need to make is to pull your heels closer to the butt, pick your hips up, and then that alone will help you feel it more so in the glutes. The second thing you can do is called reciprocal inhibition. Basically, you're going to drive your toes into the ground. Imagine there's a sheet underneath your feet, and your goal is to try to push the sheet away from you. Now, obviously, I don't want you to pick your heels up and just push your toes down. I still want the full foot down on the ground. But if you can visualize pushing your toes into the ground as if you were to push your feet away from you, what that's going to do is turn your quads on slightly. Because remember, the quads extend the knee. Now, if the quads are turning on slightly, what that's going to do is turn off the muscle that does the opposite motion, your hamstrings. Remember that your hamstrings also flex the knee. So if the quads are turned on, the hamstrings can't as well be turned on, or else you're not going to have any movement occur. So this is called reciprocal inhibition. So the quads turn on, hamstrings turn off slightly. The only thing left, again, to extend the glutes or extend the hips is what? The glutes. So that's another way that you can modify the bridge if someone is having that cramping sensation while performing to where they can more so optimally engage the glutes. And again, something like this programming wise, I will often tell people to do maybe two sets of 20 reps at first for about a 5 second hold and really trying to squeeze as hard as they can. Here's a very simple way. You got a quarter between your butt cheeks. You're going to try to squeeze that quarter and keep it up. Obviously a very funny way to think about it, but something that works. You want to squeeze as hard as you can, get those muscles to turn on, and the hold is key, that isometric hold. You're not just doing the motion, but you're really trying to isometrically engage those muscles at the top. Eventually, I'll try to go to a longer isometric hold, so I may program 10 to 20 reps for a 10-second hold. And anyone who has done 20 reps of a bridge for a 10-second hold, I can promise you, your glutes are going to be on fire afterwards. So again, if you do a single leg bridge test and you feel a difference side to side, on one side you're not feeling your glutes working very hard, on the other side you do, that is a possible reason for producing a hip shift in your lifting. So to clear it up, the first way to do it is regressing back to the double leg bridge and then working on improving the optimization of those muscles turning on by just doing some holds for at least 5 to 10 seconds. Now, here's the deal. Eventually, we need to make our coordination and strength work look like a squat. We want to make it more functional. So what we're going to do is some slow controlled tempo squats. So I want you to stand up. I want you to get a hip circle or a band, any type of hip circle band around your knees. And I want you to go super slow on some squats and start body weight squat at first. You're just going to go super slow, maybe about a 5 to 10 second descent. And if you have the availability to get in front of a mirror as well while you're doing this, that's going to be key for just allowing you to also visualize any shifting that may be going on that maybe at the time you can't feel yet. So stand in front of the mirror, take your shoes off so you can feel for the ground, band around the knees, drive your knees out to the side to engage your hips symmetrically, and just go super slow. Your goal with this is to feel for whether or not you are having that symmetrical engagement of the hips. When you get all the way down at the bottom in the entire movement, you should feel like those hips are turning on. Almost at the bottom, if you do a hold in that bottom position, you should feel like your glutes are almost trembling if you're doing it correctly. Something like this, I usually maybe do a set of 10, and then we're gonna slowly add load. But again, remember that technique quality is of the utmost importance. So if you're noticing that the more load you're adding, the more you're shifting, we need to cut that back. We need to make these changes last. So in order to do so, we want to limit bad reps. We want to limit those reps where you are shifting. And in the end, if you take that approach, you're slowly going to get better. You are going to see a more symmetrical squat, and you're going to see improvements in performance because you're going to be moving on a more optimal base of foundation as far as movement goes. So let's wrap things up. A hip shift with your squat can be caused by mobility and stability issues. And the evaluation process is key to really understanding what specific weak links are causing your movement problem. Every single person can be a little bit different. So there's no one size fits all. You have to have good tests there at first to really uncover and illuminate what your individual reason is. But once you do illuminate what the problem is with a good screen, it's all about fixing it. And then test, retest, and you will see whether or not you're efficient, effective at addressing what you have found and what your body needs to move in a more symmetrical and optimal manner, which again is going to allow you to lift more weights and decrease your risk of injury. So long term, that's really what our goal is. So at the end of the day, the better quality we have in our squat, the greater potential we have to lift some big ass weight and ward off those nagging injuries that we all come to find eventually if you've been in the weight room long enough. So that is it for today's podcast. I hope you guys got something out of it and you're able to take some value from all this testing that you can then implement in your training and hopefully fix some of these problems if this is something that you guys are dealing with. I hope you guys, again, enjoy the podcast. If you are, please continue to share it with all of your friends and family. It really means so much to me to see some of you guys take a screenshot of it and then post it on Instagram. Tag me in it so I can reach out to you and say thank you for listening to the podcast. And yeah, until next week, guys. Happy squatting.
That's it for today, class, on Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horschig. For more exclusive content, log on to squatuniversity.com.